Tonight I'm not able to talk about our ministry, that is Margaret and my ministry in that sense. I sometimes feel a little bit envious of missionaries that can tell their story. They're in one place with one basic ministry, and I like to listen to that, and I've been thrilled with what Gavin has had to say tonight. Tonight I have to talk about the ministries of about 100 people. We belong to a team in GLOW at, of 100 workers linked to GLOW Australia. There's numerous national workers amongst those, and many of them in various countries. So I just want to bring a few reflections of a team of 100 people. As I was talking to Margaret this morning, I recalled the last time I was in Indonesia a few months ago, and probably one of the most special things that happened in our missionary work over 40 years now occurred then. My son Andrew took me to one of their of our assembly planting projects in a mountainous area of Java for the Saturday and Sunday, going out of town and out into the country, and we soon left behind the tender green of the terraced rice fields, then into the mountains themselves, into the darker greens of palm trees, coconut trees and jungle-like growth, to this little village on the side of a mountain, a lovely crystal clear water brook stream tumbling down the mountainside beside it. It sounds like paradise, doesn't it? Well, it really was in more ways than one. Well, that morning we sat down cross-legged on grass mats in the room of a very humble home, and we broke bread with 18 converted Muslims. That really got my adrenaline flowing. That was a very, very special experience for more reasons than one. But that is, just reflects a little of what's happening through disciples and trained church planters in our ministries. And just thinking of this overall picture, we have helped bring into being two discipling centres in Korea. I was there on one occasion teaching, and I was asked to give an outline of the Old Testament, an Old Testament survey. Of course, I was being translated into Korean, and I used a bit of colloquialism that caused a little bit of strife. I started off by telling the students that I was going to give them a bird's eye view of the Old Testament. And the interpreter just stopped dead, and then in confusion he said to me, "What does the Old Testament have to do with birds?" It's from culture to culture, and there's different colloquialism. All right, well, take a Bible reading now. After John 3:16, this verse is my favourite one. Matthew 28 and 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or obey all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." This great commission is the basis of GLOW's ministry. There's some good action words in the Great Commission. There's a going, there's a making disciples, there's baptizing them, there's teaching them to obey everything that the Lord has commanded us, and the great promise of the Lord, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." And GLOW is just the whole movement of going and making and baptizing and teaching and enjoying the Lord's presence. Now, if you wanted to make a mission statement, I guess it's just the Lord's commission is under those points. And then our strategy, we follow the Apostle Paul's very simple, basic New Testament strategy from Acts 14:21 to 23. And we find the Apostle Paul going into city after city, preaching the gospel, and winning many souls. They won a large number of disciples. They strengthened and encouraged the disciples. It's not stated in these verses, but it's very obvious that he planted assemblies because he appointed elders in each assembly. He prayed and he fasted and he committed them to God. And that is our basic biblical strategy in the ministries of flow. Training, making disciples. In fact, we have a series of discipleship training courses, one in Australia and Tasmania, and a number scattered throughout Asia now and getting into Eastern Europe. Making disciples, training them, and opening opportunities for them to serve the Lord is the heartbeat of GLOW. Our boundaries. We are serving the Lord within the brethren in Australia and overseas. Some of our distinctives. We believe very strongly in the autonomy of the local church. We believe strongly in the development of the spiritual gifts, the priesthood of believers, elders led local churches, partnership in the gospel, and so on. And of course we trust the Lord for our support. Now we are certainly thrilled at the way God is unfolding opportunity after opportunity, country after country, and workers after workers. We've had something like 17 workers join us or about to join us this year. A little more about our strategy. We work through four stages in our church planting, in our in various locations and countries. Overall, GLOW is working with the brethren in 17 countries around the world. We start in some cases at the pioneer stage, and then we go to the parent stage, very, very deliberate movement. We could then go to a partnership stage, then a participant stage, and then we go and do it all over again. Now, some ministries, we are going in at the pioneer stage. We're starting at the grassroots. There are some ministries that we are going in at the partnership stage with, and this is especially so with training centers. Now, for instance, in Korea, the Korean Assemblies invited us there to set up a discipleship training program for them. We certainly didn't go into the pioneer stage or the parent stage in Korea. We went in at the establishing stage or the participation stage, and they did the work. We did the training of the leaders because we're going to do the discipleship training course. In fact, I sent them to Australia for a period to do that. But I just want to make the point that we are forming partnerships with assemblies leaders in other countries, and we are going to them if we're going in for training at the partnership level. We did it in Korea. We've done it in Malaysia. We've done it in Romania, in Eastern Europe, and in a few other countries. Going to the pioneer stage, we are working in a pioneer situation on one of the islands of the Philippines in a group of people that in total is number of almost 3 million, and they're still listed by the missions as unreached. And they mean, when they say unreached, there may be some Christians amongst them, but their national church has not progressed to the point where they can evangelize their own people. And there's 3 million there on the island of Samar. We're in there at the pioneer stage, but we're working towards the parent stage. There's one assembly started, and there's a new work started, and the second one underway. We do this in planting assemblies in Australia, and you'll see shortly that at the moment we're in the process of beginning or planting 4 assemblies in Australia. That's starting at the grassroots. But we go to the parent stage, the partner stage, the participant stage, and then elders are recognized, and then GLOW has no longer a guiding role in that new assembly. It becomes autonomous, and we continue on by invitation if we've needed. And that is happening again and again and again. We'll cover some of the new assemblies that we're getting underway in Australia at this moment, but our goal is to work as fast as we can to having growth and elders recognized. And after that, those new assemblies take on their own character. They may do new things. They may change policies and so on. But we believe our work is over, as the Apostle Paul was, especially when elders were appointed and we move on. And so there's a planting and there's an establishing phase in our assembly planting. After elders are appointed, we offer to, if we're asked, to help further establishment of those new assemblies for another 3 years. There are team members, there are workers that may be invited to stay on. So in essence, we're following Acts 14, 21 to 23 in Paul's strategy. Starting at the pioneer level, then seeing people come to the Lord, others discipled and more firmly established in the scriptures, and then seeing elders appointed, and then helping afterwards if there's a need and if we're invited during an establishing period. And God is using this strategy just as he did a couple of years ago. Now, I just want to cover a few of the results now. I'd like to talk to you more about the training, the discipling, and so on. But at this point in time, we have about 120 people in discipleship courses, 9 months discipleship courses around the world. And so the whole work is just growing larger and larger. More and more workers are being added to our numbers. More and more evangelism is being done. And more assemblies are being planted. Some of the results. We'll go to Romania. Now, GLOW was invited into Romania just after communism collapsed. The Orthodox Church is extremely strong. They're very political. An arm of the Catholic Church, or a split from the Catholic Church a few centuries ago. They are very strong. We were invited into Romania to do a number of ministries under the guidance of elders there, and there are over 600 assemblies in Romania. One of them was to help them establish their first training center. They wanted us to do printing because most of their literature, Christian literature, theological books have been destroyed, and they wanted us to teach English and a number of other things. One of the things that, and I'll just highlight this for lack of time, one of the things that we introduced there was the Queensland Mailbox Bible Correspondence Course. And at this point in time, a few years later, there are 33,000 active students. Can you imagine going and collecting the mail every day? It doesn't fit into one mail bag. Very quickly, they can trace 2,500 converts from that work that have been followed up, that have come to the Lord through doing the courses, that have been followed up by assemblies around the country, and those 2,500 that they refer to are in fellowships in churches right across Romania. That is wonderful. That thrills me. I know I'm going to run out of time, but I think I'd like to tell you this story. It moved me deeply. The last time I was in Romania, one of our team members, and we've got 10 national team members, Romanians in Romania, serving the Lord there full time. He said, "Look, we're going to visit a young girl in jail today." It took about 3 hours to drive there. When we got there, I wasn't allowed in a Romanian jail, I guess because I'm a foreigner. Not a very nice place. But this poor girl, she's been given a chocolate bar by some of her friends. They'd actually stolen it from a shop. They were apprehended. They gave the police her name. And at the end of the court case, she was given 2 years in jail just for having one chocolate bar. But she praises God for that. She found Christ in jail through doing those courses. She's now being released in the courses being cared for by our national team. But doesn't that touch your heart? But how we praise God for those Bible correspondence courses. Been so, so fruitful. Let's go to India. We have 6 national workers in India, and they're doing varied ministries, including training courses, and they're putting out assembly planters too. But let me tell you one part of the work that they have: 2 literature distribution crusades a year. 20 to 22 assemblies are involved. Anything from 180 to 200 people come to distribute literature, generally up to 60,000 packs of literature. And out of the one last Christmas, they ended up with 60 Hindus that they were discipling one day a week for 10 weeks. I was there for the 4th and the 5th discipling group, and they were in earnest. They range from 12 years old to 72 years old. Now, they had big decisions to make, leaving the Hindu faith and families that were deposed. And not all of them at this point in time because of opposition, but the majority of those 60 are in fellowship in local assemblies in the city of Chennai. And they are Hindus that are coming to Christ. Now, I never imagined that I would be involved in a ministry, and not only Orthodox people, the Hindus who become the Thai. We'll go on to Myanmar, Burma. Burma is a strong Buddhist country, but in a very wonderful way, brought a young man into contact with Dr. Don Nichols in Malaysia. He trained with us in Australia for 3 years, and now they have taken into their home 33 needy people in Myanmar, young teens up into their 20s. Myanmar has been ruined economically. It's in economic crisis. If you can get a job there, you'll get 10 to 20 Australian dollars a month. Some people cannot educate or care for their children, especially those out of the cities. As a bridge builder, they've taken in these people. They clothe them, they feed them, they educate them. They've got 5 teachers working with them now in what could be termed a Christian school. Most of those 33 have come to Christ, and about half of them are already baptized. Now that is Buddha coming to Christ. Amazing. I can't believe that we're involved in ministry, but bringing Buddhists to Christ also. Now the last time I was there was the end of last year, at a meeting with some of these young people, just chatting them, and I said to one of them, I said, look, why on earth did you become a Christian? How did that happen? And this little fellow, not very high, he said in a very strong voice, he said, look, if I hadn't have become a Christian, I would have fried in hell. He knew what he was saved from. That thrills us to think that the work is growing in Myanmar just through, was it an accidental meeting with Dr. Don? It is God's promise. And we've got 3 people from Myanmar training with us in Australia at the moment to expand that work out. Now, there are 52 or there may be 62 assemblies in Myanmar. They need a lot of help. There is persecution. But we praise God for God opening the doors into Myanmar. Quickly, I'll go to Indonesia, and I'm talking about preaching the gospel, getting converts in these countries out of these religions. Indonesia is Muslim. We have a son and daughter-in-law there, and 3 grandchildren. And they're linked up with Chuck and Cindy Harrison, American missionaries commended from one of the assemblies in Colorado. And they are planting what we would term as the first assemblies in Indonesia. Now we've done our discipling. We've trained 3 couples from there already. One of them runs the discipleship course. Another is doing coordinating with church planting, and another is starting another little discipleship center in another region of Java. But already they have been able to plant and establish 10 assemblies, and they are made up of converted Muslims. Can you believe that? Can you imagine how encouraging, how thrilling, how thankful we are? And they're in the process of planting in another region, another 2. And just at the evangelism point in time. That thrills me. Now Andrew mentioned that they've just taken 2 of the people that have been through the discipling course and now the assembly planting course, and they've placed them in the largest unreached people group in the world. That's outstanding, and they won't find that easy. that language group is certainly opposed to the gospel. So there are bright things happening there, and I'd like to tell you a little bit more. We are in the Philippines, and I've already mentioned that we're doing pioneer work on one of the islands there. I'd like to tell you more about this. Some great things happened there too. But I just want to mention the fact that we are planning an assembly in Western Sydney, and they're calling it a multicultural assembly. There are seven nationalities in it at the moment, Australians too. Margaret and I make it our church home when we're at home. Lynn here, who has put this together for me, she's a part of it. But look, about 3 years ago, we made it known amongst the assemblies in the Philippines that we needed a Filipino couple to come to Australia to reach Filipinos, Tagalog speakers, in the Blacktown area of Sydney. It's the most predominant Asian group in that part of Sydney. So Lynn's parents responded, and we didn't know it when they came. We thought we were just getting a husband and wife, but we got a family came. Lynn's brother and sister-in-law, they came too. They just completed discipleship training in Smithton, and Lynn is our secretary in the office. So out of getting two people, husband and wife, out in the Philippines, we've ended up with five people. God is good. Now, I want to say that Lynn's father has got the gift of personal evangelism. Not so long ago, he had a dinner for Filipinos that he contacted on the street on the train, and there were 42 responded to that contact. And Lynn is out 2-3 nights a week with her dad doing one-to-one Bible studies. Last Tuesday night, there were two of them made decisions. Isn't that tremendous? That is marvelous. Come on, we have to hurry on. Australia, we'll talk more about that in a moment. But in Australia, people are indifferent to the gospel, and there are Australians coming to Christ, not in big numbers. There's baptisms next Sunday. It's next three baptisms next Sunday from the multicultural work. I'm going to have to go faster now. The making disciples, and we've heard a lot of that tonight, passing the baton. And I've mentioned a little bit of it. Our discipleship training centre is in Tasmania. We train at the church planting level or for cross-cultural people in Sydney. It's a 9-month full-time course in Tasmania at Riverstone in Sydney, the outer west there, northwest. We do our assembly planting team training, and those that are going cross-culturally. And Dr. Don and Margot and Elisa Johannesson from Colombia, actually, are teaching ESL, and I'll mention that more fully in a moment. They're doing a tremendous job, and they've got about 20 students. That's a part of recycling, and a number of them find Christ. We'll go to Indonesia. We rented two homes in Indonesia and have just finished building the first stage of a GLOW training centre in a Muslim country, can you believe that? That is tremendous. And there are some of the young future evangelists and church planters. In Malaysia, just mentioning of the house on your right, an old missionary compound. The brethren there have given us a use of it, and we're running discipleship training there for Malaysians. We are going to Zambia. I don't know how many people have been through it. I understand that there's part of at least 40 assemblies following evangelism in villages in Zambia. And Motherwell in United Kingdom, it's in Scotland, they are responsible for the United Kingdom and Western Europe, and they've got a whole network of team members and workers there. It is grown into quite a sizable work. Just looking at some of the four assemblies that we're in the process of planting, the Blacktown one, a multicultural one, Australians are in it, and we've just been able to buy a warehouse for a church home. I'll just mention that we've been able to pay for it in full, and it cost $645,000, and God has met that need in a very, very wonderful way. Some of the folks there, but it is our goal to make that a discipleship training local assembly that trains people of other nationalities and prepares them to work amongst immigrants throughout Australia. Now, at this point in time, we have been able to bring in 10 overseas missionaries, the Philippines, from Korea, and from Singapore, and in a few weeks' time we'll have a couple arriving from Malaysia, sent by assemblies overseas to Australia to work amongst their own people here in this country. The sort of thing that is happening, and God is doing it. We were a help and a blessing to the Korean assemblies with a conference there that was highlighted, and one of the chairman turned to me and he said, "Look, you've helped us so much, how can we help you?" I didn't have to think for very long, and I said, "Look, if you really want to help us, send some Korean missionaries to Australia." And they've sent one couple, they had to learn English with us, Dr. Don and Margot's course, and they've got a small assembly going for Koreans. It's a Korean speaking one, but of course we hope that it'll move out once the Korean language is not a linguistic problem for some of the immigrants. Isn't that wonderful? That is tremendous. Where are we now? Yeah, that's a Korean assembly, and that is Kang Il baptizing a new convert. Next one. At the moment, we're my pages are out of order here. Okay, the Ormo in Queensland. Now, we were invited by a Brethren Christian school that was beginning a new Christian school on the outskirts of Brisbane to be responsible for starting a new assembly. Glorious opportunity. And they've been a team of five. We put together a team of five. They were trained, of course. They have an experienced church planting leader, and they're getting good numbers already in a new area that has no evangelical churches. So that's the theme there. On the property that the Christian school bought there in Queensland was an old Catholic church. It's a wooden building, and so there was a church for them to start off in. There was a couple of hundred children and their parents to work on for the congregation. The latest one that we're doing in Australia is in just outside of Sydney on the northwest of a place called Richmond. It's a regional area, and they had their first meeting last Sunday. A team of five there. We've trained since February, and they're starting there, so just pray for them. We'll be breaking bread tomorrow morning at I think at 10 o'clock. So there's what's happening with disciples. So we're not only making disciples, we are giving them opportunities to serve. And I think that is very, very, very important. And then we're working with them and visiting them and so on. I can't talk about this in any depth, but I just want to mention that out of training centers now that we've helped brethren establish in a number of Asian countries, we're in the process of planting 24 assemblies in 5 Asian countries. I am so thankful to God for Globe Ministries, the tremendous opportunity that it has brought. I can tell you lots of stories. Next slide. New vision for mission. Now, I just want to share in closing 2 projects that we're praying about, that we're negotiating about, that we're planning for, that we're setting goals for at this point in time. Now, we've mentioned that the English as a second language course has been established and has been functioning at Riverstone for 45 years. 7 years, okay, I'm sorry. 7 years. Now, we want to enlarge the accommodation block. We want to go up to at least 50 students in 2 years' time. We want to be accredited, and our main goal in doing this is a mission one. And we have been dabbling our feet now in unreached people groups in 2 countries, and we're learning that we need a bridge builder to get into the gospel resistant people groups that yet to be reached with the gospel. You need a purpose other than being a missionary to go amongst them. And so we've decided that we're going to expand ESL, have it accredited to the point where we can open branches quite easily in other countries. It gives our church planters, and we're looking upon nationals as being the main church planting force amongst these unreached people groups, but they too need a purpose, a reason for going into Muslim villages, Buddhist villages and so on, and gaining the confidence of the people. And so we're aiming to focus more and more and more on unreached people groups, especially in Asia. There's over 10,000 unreached people groups in the world today, do our bridge building, share the gospel, get converts, make converts, disciple them, and baptize them, and begin new assemblies amongst these unreached people groups. Can we ask you to pray about that? It won't be an easy project, but you know, statistics tell us that of every 41 missionaries that go to that are serving cross-culturally, only one missionary is going to the unreached people. One out of 41 missionaries on an average. That is where the need is, and that is the burden that God is laying on Glow's heart, is to go where the real need is and take the gospel to unreached people groups more and more. Now the second, and this is the last slide, that should have been included as the 10:40 window. Next one, Lynn. I wish I had more time to explain things more fully and tell you lots of stories. But look, we're looking at planting clusters of assemblies in Australia. We've chalked up a lot of experience in church planting. We're doing it mainly in capital cities, but the real need is out in the country, in country areas. And God has and we've been praying about the country areas for quite a while. Now, GLOW has planted one assembly in a country area, but we find that they're isolated. It's halfway between Sydney and Brisbane. There are no nearby assemblies. The closest nearby assembly is about 400 kilometres away from them. They're isolated, they feel it, and so we believe that to get into country areas we need to plant a cluster of autonomous but interdependent networking assemblies that build on one another and help one another. Now, to make this possible, we've been offered the use of a campsite in a country area. It's a 100-bed campsite in very good condition. There's already an assembly functioning there. We are working out how we can work in partnership with that, and we'll call it the Mother Assembly. And with teams of trained disciples, our goal is to plant 3 or 4, if not 5 or 6 assemblies in surrounding towns. Now, it's a bit of a dream. We don't exactly know how we're going to do it, but we believe if we can make this model work, we may be able to get more and more assemblies planted in country areas. I'm sorry, I've gone over time. I've only skimmed, it's been a bird's eye view, but I just want to say this. We are so thankful for the privilege of serving God. We are so thankful for having so many co-workers. There's some of them here tonight. The Dr. Don and Margot, of course, and Donsworth and Joan. We are so thankful to have so many co-workers that are making these sorts of dreams feasible and possible under God and under His provision. Will you pray for us? Our heartbeat is discipling, training, opening opportunities, and letting those disciples loose. And we're letting them loose in a number of countries around the world. And we have been taken by surprise at the response. It is the most exciting, fulfilling ministry that I could have ever dreamt of. And I'm so thankful to be a part of it. Thank you for listening and for being so patient.